Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Excuse me. Recently, on Facebook, I came across a video of a Lutheran pastor by the name of Nadia Boltz Weber. I've mentioned her more than once in different ways because she's a pastor that has always resonated with me because of her authenticity and her openness, her ability to talk about her imperfections. And in the video, she talks about these very qualities, and she says, "My transparency about my failings and all of the things that make me seem not like a pastor are what allow me to be certain people's pastor." And in that one sentence, Nadia Boltz Weber captures what I've been hoping for these past 3 years. Incidentally, this Sunday marks our 3-year anniversary. I meant to buy you all flowers and chocolate, but the week got away from me, so let this suffice. Happy anniversary. I love you. Back to Nadia Boltz Weber. And that quote again. "My transparency about my failings and all of the things that make me seem not like a pastor are what allow me to be certain people's pastor." And then she goes on to talk about falling in love with Lutheran theology. And she says, "The idea that we are simultaneously sinner and saint, 100% of both, all the time. The idea that nobody is worthy, but everybody is welcome. The fact that I can make a mistake, and it's not the thing that's going to determine my value forever. That's grace." End quote. That's a really good theology, in my opinion. To be transparent about our failings is to let go of the shame that we may have acquired along the way. Now, it's similar to what we talked about in last week's sermon, to let the old die away in order to make room for new life. That doesn't mean that we forget or bury what's unpleasant under the rug, but to accept and even to embrace what's happened, and then with a sense of forgiveness in order to embrace what God is doing now, which is redeeming and transforming all of us, all of the time. But we have to get out of the way. How do we do that? Transparency. I just don't know any other way of being. I never have, and that's not just open about my sins or my mistakes, but also the ones of those around me which has had an effect on me, or just plain hardships and suffering that has happened, life events that are not in anyone's control, all the stuff of life that many people prefer not to talk about, I've always wanted to talk about in order to make sense of them. But even more importantly, to take the shame out of them. And here's an example, and I may have mentioned it to you before, but by the way, in light of our anniversary, I'm done worrying about whether or not I repeat myself. Just like in any good long-term relationship, you know, just let me know if it starts to get annoying. So I was about 14, and I was no longer going to church because my parents had stopped going to the Catholic Church when I was about 8. But my best friend, Linda Kramer, was still going to church. And she was on her way to being confirmed, which meant that she got a new name. And she got to pick whatever new name she wanted. And I loved that idea. At 14, I wanted a new name, you know, a Christian name. And they would wear it on their, anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't even know what they're called, but they would have a beautiful thing with their new name. Thank you, Sash. I wanted one of those. So I told Linda. And Linda said, "Well, you better start by going to confession," which is really funny to me now because if you knew Linda Kramer, you would know that she was the one that needed to go to confession. So that's what I did. But in those days, priests had started to come out of the confessionals and they were meeting people face to face. So there I was in a room across from a priest. Now, I don't remember exactly what I said or what he said, but what I remember is the feeling. And I remember that I said something like, well, I've learned from all of my mistakes. So I don't think, you know, I think if I went back in time, I would do them all over again. Something to that effect, something 14 years old appropriate. And what I remember most is that the priest had no idea what to do with me. And I could feel that. And I could feel the disappointment. And I walked away feeling ashamed, like I had disappointed God, because growing up Catholic, priests seemed like a direct extension of God. And now looking back, I'm so grateful for the experience, because I believe that today it only confirms, no pun intended, it confirms what I do today as your pastor. And I've done all my life as a friend, which is to understand all of our sins, all of our hardships, all of our suffering as an opportunity to receive God's grace, which both transforms us and grows within us, but not only for us individually, but always, always in the hope that in sharing those experiences, it will somehow give others the permission that they might need to do the same and to free themselves of the shame. And in that place of compassionate listening, free of judgment, that's where connection and trust is built. And where there's connection and trust, there is a community of God's people. Now, connection and trust in this community and in this healthy church is built foundationally on God, Christ, and Spirit. And the greater church, just like all of us individually, it has a past. And it's responsible for its transgressions, and it has seen hard times. And in this morning's scripture, Paul is pointing this out to the community in Corinth, whose animosity in 2 Corinthians is now aimed directly at Paul. And Paul, in his wisdom, reminds them of the stuff we're all made of. Clay jars. Clay jars break when they fall. And just like us, sometimes because of our doing, often because of something completely out of our control, like a natural disaster or a life-changing event which causes great suffering, breaking us, we are made of clay. But Paul, perhaps the first transparent and authentic preacher with a past of his own, doesn't stop there. Just to say we're clay jars, Paul doesn't stop there. He says, we have a treasure inside these jars, inside these breakable bodies. And the treasure is the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. Verses 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and doesn't come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. So this is not a sweep the unpleasant stuff under the rug kind of a theology. This is perseverance, and this is grace. This is God's ability to take our afflictions, whether self-inflicted or by others, and to turn them into enormous understandings of our complete dependency on God. And to build again on last Sunday's sermon, the death of Jesus takes with it all those things in your life that no longer serve you, all those ways and things that keep you stuck and unable to express new life. And God wants to do with you today, what God wants to do with you today requires a kind of a death. And it requires self-compassion and acceptance. And the more we can accept and be transparent about our own life, the good and the ugly of it, the more we can grow with one another into the transforming beauty of it. So it would seem, we are purposefully designed as clay jars. A purpose so much greater than ourselves. Our imperfection is a gift. This treasure that we carry inside is a gift, and our reliance on God is not a limitation as much as it is a gift. What a relief! What a relief! We were not designed to be perfect. Our lives are not designed for perfection. Thanks be to God. And yet we were also designed to understand that these cracks and breaks in our being, as made whole by God, given treasures that live inside of us. Which means that there are days I'm just so grateful for this design. And then there are those other days when I look to God and I complain, what a lousy design. And on those days, I can hear God smiling at me and shaking God's head and loving me through despite my annoyance. So those who received my weekly email know that this week, 2 weeks in a row now, I was walking with Reverend Bentley Stewart, and this week he introduced me to this Japanese tradition and philosophy known as wabi-sabi. And emerging in the 15th century, it was a reaction to the prevailing aesthetic of lavishness and ornamentation and rich materials. Wabi-sabi is the art of finding beauty in imperfection and profundity in earthiness, of revering authenticity above all things. I quote, wabi-sabi understands the tender, raw beauty of a gray December landscape and the aching elegance of an abandoned building or shed. It celebrates cracks and crevices and rot and all the other marks that time and weather and use leave behind. To discover wabi-sabi is to see the singular beauty in something that may first look decrepit and ugly. End quote. And out of this philosophy emerged a wonderful art called kintsugi, which takes broken bowls or jars and fills the cracks with gold. Not only is there no attempt to hide the damage, but the repair is literally illuminated, a kind of physical expression of the spirit. And these cracks and the vicissitudes of existence, not my words, I'm quoting, because if you can't pronounce it, you know you're quoting. The vicissitudes of existence over time, to which all humans are susceptible, could not be clearer than in the breaks and the knocks and the shattering to which ceramic ware is subject. End quote. Highlighting and emphasizing our imperfections is not something we tend to do in this society, but God is doing it. In the very design of how we are created, whether by our own sins or sins of others or the very randomness of life and tragedy and events out of our control, all these things that shatter us into pieces are replaced and repaired in grace. In grace, the color of gold. And the more cracked the bowls are, the more valuable they are. So how much more valuable are all of you in the eyes of God, who fills all of us and all of our cracks with his love? So we have this treasure in clay jars. Thanks be to God. Now I want to show you a video that I have been waiting 3 years to show you. So I really hope it works and works well. And I hope that the music comes through the speakers, and I hope that Jose plays it loud.
Amen.